All right, so let's get started. I just wanted to, I added two things. I added one thing to the Makoros sheet here, just so you could all see. Oh, wait till this comes on. I just added the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samech, about, we've been exploring the theme that the get slows down the process of Gedushin, right? Different theories for why that's important, but somehow it stabilizes marriages by making it harder to break apart. So we had mentioned in Shir the idea of the Gemara in Bava Basra about the get and the kushar, right? The get that has to be tied at each line. So you see that here in Bava Basra, why were Chazal mitakin to get mekushar? Asra de kahani havu is a place of kohanim. Bahava kapti tuva. They're very makbid, meaning they're very particular. They're very irritable, would be a way of phrasing it. And what would happen is, when Megarshi Nishayu, they would divorce their wives. So the Rabbanan made a takana, ad hachi v'hachi, while they were stitching up the get, meis v'datayu. Right? Their anger, their temper would cool off. That's,
why only the Kohanim?
Why only the Kohanim? So it's a good point. Some people say Kohanim are a little hotter to get angry. But some Rishonim say it's actually because Kohanim can't marry divorcees, so the stakes are higher.
Oh, interesting.
If you're a Kohen and you act rashly to get divorced, than if you're a regular Yisrael. As I put in the premise of what Rashbam says, it's actually a little bit at odds with the kind of way that I'm citing the Gemara, because that might explain that there's no problem with the divorce being easy per se. It's special halacha in Kohanim, right? But it's worth looking around to see if somebody connects it directly to the Rambam and the Chinuch and the Meiri that we've seen that suggests that it's about making it harder to break apart the marriage. Okay? I just wanted to say one comment to fill in the discussion of the Yushalmi. Did everybody see this Yushalmi in Kiddushin?
Yeah? Raise your hand. Did not see the Yushalmi?
This isn't new. This was there last week, right?
Yeah, it was here.
Oh, was it yesterday? Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, it's been here. It's been on the search for a while. Okay. So the Yushalmi talks about Lo Yicheid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Begip Begirishin Ela BeYisrael Bilvad. Right, that there's this concept of Gershon only applied by Jews, and one way of reading the Yushalmi is that the whole concept of divorce doesn't apply at all to non-Jews, right? We have this, that's at least one way of reading the Yushalmi. And that's the view that the Ran quotes, just read it inside. The background for this discussion is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chesam and Beis. The Gemara there talks about Shivka Harufa. That's a type of marriage for Shivka owned by a Jew. And the Gemara says, at what point can you undo the relationship of a Shivka Harufa? So she's considered halakhically married when the owner designates her to a certain man. But at what point is she no longer considered designated? So this is the Gemara. Ben Noach she yicheid shivcha la'avdo u'ba'alea ne'ragalea. It's a type of violation of Eishes Ish. Because even though she's a servant, once she's designated to this other person, as if she's married to him. So the Gemara says, at what point does she become aser fine? But me'emas hatarasa. When does she become permissible now that she's no longer considered married? So the Gemara says, amrafuna mishe para rosha basha. When she lets her hair go loose in the market. Sign that she's no longer under the dominion, no longer married, yuchad to this ish. Okay? So what you get here is machlokes rishonim about what the significance of misha par rosh habashuk is. How does the Rambam read that? Rambam, sorry, Josh.
Gershin without ksav.
Yeah, that just means Gershin without ksav. She left his house. She's now away from him. She's living as a single person. That means she's divorced halachically as a non-Jew. Okay. That's the Rambam's gloss on this Gemara. Melachim Perek Tes Lachachas. Umeimasai Tachzer Lehetera Misha Yafri Shena Meavdo VeYifra Rosha Bashok. And the Rambam thinks this has to do with the general theory that Bnei Noach Ein Lahem Gerushin Bichsav, right? And the wife could have walked away from the husband. The Ran reads the Gemara differently. The Ran citing Rabbeinu David. And he says that this Gemara is a special din in a Shivcha Charufa. Because the marriage in the first place is weaker, she's designated by her master to this person, that's why she could just walk away and become single by Misha Parah Rosh HaBashok. But in a non-Jewish marriage, that can never be dissolved according to Jewish law. That's the way the Ran reads the Gemara. That's the way the Reb David reads it.
What's the relevance of whether or not someone's married according to Jewish law as a non-Jewish?
So one of the seven is Bnei Noach.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. There's a prohibition of Eishes Ish.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So the question is, could that ever be severed? Major.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, major kind of disagreement. Net. Both, maybe, right? I don't know if that's the right way to, the right categories to think in terms of. Why do you ask? I think it's neither, right? It's just like marriage. The idea here is that for the Gentile, marriage is in perpetuity. It's really forever and not necessarily in a Jewish marriage. Okay? Everybody see this? Rabbeinu David, Abal Hava, Rabbeinu David, Kasa Bechidusha. And he cites the Yishalmi based off the pasuk in Malachi. So everybody's clear with this?
Yep.
Okay. Any questions on the Yishalmi reading? It's kind of very striking, right? If you want to see what's different about the Jewish institution of marriage, it's according to this view, it's the fact that there is the capacity for divorce. Yeah,
the first opinion is quoted in the Yerushalmi.
Yeah.
It seems like they're contradictory points. Or it's either this or Shem Roshan's or Shem. Yeah. Is it is the third option Gerushin Tattle?
That's what Jews have, right.
Yeah, so these are the two elements.
Correct, yeah. Meaning everyone agrees that the Jewish view of divorce is different. The question is
it more or less?
Is it what?
Is it more difficult for Jews to get divorced or easier?
Correct. Right. Like, this is one of the questions I want to pursue today. Like, what's the Jewish innovation, or what do Jews contribute to the notion of marriage here? Is it the fact that it could be dissolved, or is it the way that it's dissolved? And that's kind of the two questions we started with in our first two shiurim. Okay? Okay. So this brings us to the Abarbanel. And to flush out the Abarbanel, I just want to contrast it again with the Migiri. We read this Migiri. What did the Migiri say the significance of the Dino Mishas were?
To create a Kesher Chazon?
Yeah. Shalios Ishas the Kesher Chazon. Right? Now, you could always go to deeper layers of analysis. So we start off, we have this concept of Gerushin. Right? What's Gerushin for? Oh, so that the Isha should be the Kesha Chaza. That's what the Miri. Then you can go deeper and you can say, well, what's the significance of the Gerushin being? What's the significance of Isha's being the Kesha Chaza? That's a more fundamental question. So the Miri has an answer to it. Right? So Rumi, what's his answer? We kind of glossed over this in the last year, but
he explains that the Kesher Chazak is important so that the wife basically has a fear of her husband and like that takes care of me and doesn't betray him.
Yeah, so he mentions three things, which I think many of you would say is very deflationary or very, they seem kind of petty, I don't know if that's the right word, or they seem very instrumental. Well, okay. So one of them being that the wife is not deterred from just saying she's not going to serve the husband in, let's say, household chores. There's no emas bal muteles aleha, or listos mitachta, right? To either betray him, or likvot's benedarim, which presumably means incur all sorts of costs to him through her vows. So because of these concerns, there has to be this kesha chazak that the Torah imposes. Okay? I think that's the picture you got from the Meiri. I don't know how many of you like the Meiri's explanation for why kesha chazak is important. How many of you like it?
I did until I saw the Barbara Nose, which is like a little bit more poetic.
It's a little more what?
I like to read Chassidus and the things.
You do?
So yeah, about like the spiritual natures of men and boy and that's what we do with each other. And yeah, so I like that more. Just like the cash
of okay. I
figure you're not exactly the most Chassidic.
I'm not sure why you would say that. I'm a little curious why you think you have to be like that bent in order to appreciate the Abarbanel. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to the Abarbanel in a second. I think both the Abarbanel and the Meiri are trying to get explanations for like what's underlying the Torah's contribution to Ishus. They go in opposite directions, for sure. The Meiri is trying to explain what's the significance of the Kesher Chazak. Did you see anything in your preparation for today's shiur that would emphasize Kesher Chazak as significant, but without bottoming out in the Meiri's explanation? Josh? What?
Yeah, Barbanel.
I'm not sure if that Barbanel is best conceptualized as Kesher Chazak. Right? If anything, I think that Barbanel disagrees with the Meiri's that these dinim are about Kesher Chazak.
The Meiri assumes that marriage by default is very weak. The Barbanel doesn't have that.
And did you have these guys this year? Yeah.
The Meiri assumes by default that marriage is very weak. The Barbanel doesn't seem to have that assumption.
I think it's just cleaner to say right now that they see different things in Torah's contribution to Ishus.
Right.
But the Meiri, when the Torah contributes to Kesher Chazak, the Barbanel is something different. But I'm saying, even if you're on board for the Meiri, the significance is the Kesher Chazak, which we know the Rambam and Martin Buchan is on board for in some degree, right? And Chinuch is on board for in some degree. They both talk about making it harder to get the fourth. And do they necessarily bottom out in this type of thing that Benji has in the information? Thank you. Okay, so we talk about Ishus, kind of the Torah's conception of Ishus, I'll say Afra Matan Torah. So what's significant about it? So you get this picture of the Meiri of Kesher Chazak. And then you say, gee, why is Kesher Chazak significant? So the Meiri says what? Yeah, let's go for the most mundane. We're worried that the wife's not going to do the household labor, so I think we agree it seems a little petty. You could go somewhere else about the Torah's contribution in Ishus. That's what we're going to look at in the Abarbanel. But even if you're on board for the Kesher Chazak, you could give an alternative explanation. Yes, Ram, your first name.
Hi. The Chinuch says that he had to represent the Shemot, which is Neshtikri. Talks about the Tadja.
Now, what about it? Okay, so that's why it's important.
He still says the Kesher Chazak, you don't want to get rid of her, but it's not because of.
Okay, that's an interesting point. We'll look at the Chinuch Kerpim. I see why you want to put him here, right? For my issue with that is that it has less to do with the institution of marriage. It seems to be less of an Ishus consideration and more like a personal consideration about her Tzadon Malkin. So I'm going to come back then. But I don't disagree with your point. Josh.
take a similar pragmatic approach. I think the Abarbanel mentions a different part where he says, like, so the children know who their parents are.
Yeah, Yofin. Yeah, Yofin.
That's the Rambam.
Yeah, the Rambam really comes from Rambam and Marta Gufin. That's right. What is Yofin? So, as Josh said, so the children should know who their family is, like who their father is, who their brother is, right? And the sense we get from the Rambam and Marta Gufin is that this is really important. Can everybody see that?
So let's look at that Rambam just for a second in the Mora at the end of the source sheet. Volunteer to read the Marna Buchim Gimel Mem Tes, Yonatan.
Mitzvot Asher Klal Otam, HaKlal HaArba Asarim.
Okay, so don't just start from here.
Oh, V'Omer, Bin HaYadiva.
I mean, he's talking about Ish, he's talking about Nashim. Like, what's the significance of,
yeah,
you know, Yisuri Via, Seva Seder Nashim, etc.
Ki Tzarich Adam Lo Havim Kol Yamav, Kvar Biyar.
What does that mean? Tzar Adam Lo Havim Kol Yamav.
That it's like, we know from our knowledge that people need to have like relationships.
Yeah, people need to have loving relatives, right? How does he know that?
Kvar Biarza.
He knows from Aristotle, right? That's this.
Yeah, Aristo Bimamar Hatshi Misfar Hamid.
Misfar Hamidos from Ethics.
Yeah. Imbat Brioto Bahat Slavato.
Or Bechaburatam. So you need friends and family when you're healthy, right? Simcha is only a simcha with friends and relatives. And then also based Sarasa Yitzari Chalam. You need them when you're sitting Shiva and you're Navelos. You need people to console you, right? Yeah, meaning a person when they're old and weak and frail. So then you need relatives to support you, right? Okay. So what's the wrong thing here? Why can't you have friends, right? Parents have been warning about this, right? That family is always more important than friends. Anyways, parents more than that. So the Rambam's warning you about that. Friends are great, but at the end of the day, there's greater love in family and children than there is from other people. Right? Banim and Krovim. The Ezer. Yeah. The point he's making here is that even if you have a common ancestor that gives you a sense of affinity and care for somebody who you otherwise wouldn't care for, right? Even if that ancestor is a little remote.
Yeah.
So this is all to motivate the intuition that familial relations are crucial for social ordering. So he thinks that this is one of the major themes of the Torah, that society is going to be organized in this type of family structuring. Yishal diglo b'osos l'beis avosan. That's just like a unity. Like in America, you have municipalities and boroughs and cities and states and the federal system, right? So, like, in Alabama, you have these family units that kind of look out for each other, and that's like a major principle of organization. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Something like that?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, Mipnei Zeh, because of that type of consideration, what do you get?
Nesara Kadesha.
So Kadesha in the Rambam's language refers to like prostitution or sexual relationships outside of marriage. The Torah prohibited them for this reason. Lemasha yesh behatara hayachas, yeah. Because then you lose out on kind of knowledge of the family union.
Right? You didn't have like 23 and me. So the thing that gives you knowledge of family ordering, like who's related to who, is the institution of exclusive marriages.
Yeah.
Okay. Which you wouldn't have if there was no prohibition of kedusha. Ve'heyos hanolad mimena. So a person born to Ekdesha won't know his own relatives, and his relatives won't know him. And this is kind of like the worst thing that could happen to him and his father.
It makes sense then why the exclusivity would only be for women, because
exactly.
You know who your mother is, and you're just going on losing
the
father.
Correct. So there we see the Rambam, that's the broad picture the Rambam paints in Morne Buchim Gimel Mem Tes. And Ibar Bernal appeals to it, and you could say that's the reason why you want the Kesher Chazak Avishas. Like, we agree that the Kesher, that's what Ibar Bernal says at one point in his analysis. Okay. So, you go a little deeper here, right? Say, why is Yuchsin important? Right? So what grounds, right? Say, Avishas, Kesher Chazak, what grounds that? And you say, so what grounds Yuchsin? Why is Yuchsin so important in the Rambam scheme?
Because it's the way that society is
held. Yeah. Right? Rambam kind of punts it to Aristotle and says, look at all these important things that knowing your relatives does. Right? Sarach Adam lo'avim kol yamav. And it's not just any Oavim, it's familial Oavim. Yeah. So this probably doesn't rank high on the, to borrow a tiny phrase, the poetic Chassidus Richter scale. Am I right about that? Or yeah, this ranks very low, or
yeah.
But that's the that's the picture you get from the Rambam.
It's very practical.
Very practical, correct. Everybody agree with this picture, at least the, I mean, not that it's right, but that's what the Rambam's getting at, at least in whatever he's doing in Morne Buchim to get this far. Okay. That's one picture of the significance of Kesher Chazak. There are really two pictures, one of the Minyan Sabedasa and Yuchsin, and what is Yuchsin bottom out in Sarach Lavin. David?
Sorry, and then you're saying the Rambam is...
Yeah, Barbanel's going to be number two down there. The Barbanel does quote this Rambam, but he's just attributing it to the Rambam. Okay, so let's turn to the Barbanel, and we're going to get a different picture from him. Let's see what he has to say. So, volunteer, Zahar, do you want to get us started on the Barbanel?
Sure.
We'll let Tani will, if you see something that's very exciting, then you can kind of scream out. So
sure.
Take it to fire.
Another one?
Start from main topic.
Yeah, so in some picture, Kulos Adam Bahunasa, Moros of Ethadme, Hamisha Tafios, Imla Twalas Mamon, Imla Basa Kabu, Imla Nasa Goth, Imla Shlema San Efesh, Imla Tobas Bonin.
Tani wanted to scream out for Shlema San Efesh. Although, I don't know if it's like the most inspiring of the Shlema San Efesh is when you see what he explains it as, right? Okay, so here's what's the major claim of the Barbanel.
Economists would disagree, but at men, we only do things for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little doctrinaire about it, right, the Barbanel? Well, let's accept that for now, right? So he's saying, look, people act for one of five reasons. They're trying to achieve one of these types of goods, basic goods, or the division of basic goods in his world. So pursuit of money, pursuit of fame, physical pleasure, spiritual perfection, and the good of their progeny. Sounds pretty exhaustive. No? Tony, what else?
I would say you could just minimize it into like greed and like physical pleasures, but
yeah, there's a nice little whole subtle distinction between different types of pleasures and what physical pleasures.
You can make more multiple subcategories, I would argue, just fits into those, everything can fit into those two.
Okay. But there are these five kind of basic goods that a person wants to achieve in life, right?
Yeah, these up.
What?
Do you make these up?
I'm sure you got them from,
Aristotle probably, yeah.
Yeah. Probably something floating around in his day that.
Like the go-to handbook of human psychology.
We solve human psychology.
How to achieve happiness in 4 minutes. Okay.
14th century.
That's right. And now so that's plan number one, right? That's kind of a little meta for our purposes. Plan number two is that. Here's the Ishus discussion. Sorry, what's plan number two?
Marriage can achieve all time.
Yeah. So that marriage is here. So this is really the Abarbanel's discussion. Marriage is here to achieve these five goals.
Utilitarian.
Everything is utilitarian.
But I'm saying, like, the Abarbanel has like these specific goals in mind when he looks at marriage.
He thinks marriage is here. He needs the Chaburas Adam Kimisho Yusku Hei Tafteo Zeyla. Okay, it's what kind of. In marriage, you're going to achieve these five things.
Yeah.
But you feel like you just mean that it serves this purpose? Is that?
Yeah, I'm saying he's not saying this descriptively. He's not saying marriage happens to fulfill these.
Correct.
He's looking at marriage as something which is intended to
correct.
Fulfill these.
It's clear to me that he's saying the design of the Torah is to facilitate a person's achieving these five things.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Correct. Romy?
That's not such a chiddush because he thinks that's what you should be striving for. So, like, that's not a very strong statement that marriage, it's obvious, don't you?
Say it again.
I mean, he thinks that everything is supposed to be, everyone's supposed to be striving for those five things, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a little, it's descriptive that these are kind of just like the human nature. And I think he would say they're basic goods and that anything you want to accomplish in life, you know, you're going to need these things. Like,
it's not obvious that marriage achieves all five, so maybe you could have argued, maybe marriage only achieves things in that fashion. I mean, it's a negative on everything else.
What I'm saying is it.
That's not what he's saying.
I'm disagreeing with Romy. I don't think it's a tautology to say that. The second statement. As in, there are five ends. Marriage is actually towards all of them.
Is he saying that you're supposed to be striving for those ends, or is he saying that that's what people do? Because if he's saying that people do, then it's a pretty interesting thing that he's saying marriage achieves those ends, because why does the Torah want you to achieve those ends? Or does marriage want you to achieve those ends? They're not good.
Right. I think the answer is that he thinks whatever it is you want to achieve in life, you're going to need these types of things. Like the Torah system is not here to subvert those kinds of things.
And so the Torah is interested in you achieving all those type things, maybe for an additional purpose or not. But
That's right.
I mean, look, it's not so implausible, right? Look, Toelis HaMamon, that's the Sysim School of Business, right? Okay. I mean, Latovas Habanim, acting for the good of your offspring, that's like pretty basic. Shlemus HaNefesh, I think we all agree. Hanas HaGuf, look, everyone needs to
basketball.
Take care of their basketball, right. Everyone needs some sort of leisure. And Avas HaKavod, I think he would just say, I can't imagine he'll say it's a good thing, but he'll say, like, people want to live dignified lives. Right?
Maybe
if he translates dignity, it's good. What?
What is Shlemus HaNefesh?
Yeah, he explicates it in a second. So that, this is actually, so we can just let, so you get these five topics. What are these five topics? The five topics are pretty basic, right? All right, I'll just run through them here. So, everyone needs money, right? Okay, so that's how he starts off. When you get married, he says you have schar to bimamonam. Just, you know, it's whatever, you need help in gathering money. Right, Aisha Teazar Ma'od Bikinyan Hamamonos. So whatever, two people are more economic than one person. We agree. Like even easier for saving, you're not two people paying rent, it's only one person. Sorry, it's not one person paying rent, you have two people combining
tax benefits.
Did they have the learner earner model back then?
I don't know. This Abarbanel doesn't betray that. Vim Toel Sakavod, so he thinks that a person lives a greater, more respectable life when they're married, he doesn't flesh this out so much. I guess you're more of like a dignified member of society in marriage. He says it also, I think, helps him
stay out of trouble.
Yeah, I think that's part of the kavod, right? The person is not visiting prostitutes, so that's part of living a more respectable life. He says she helps him with yigiyas haguf. You have two people around to do chores. That's easier than take some of the burden off the husband. And then to'ala sanefesh, I think he states, has to do with saving the husband from sin. Right, from like riots type things.
Right,
I'm saying it's a little deflationary on the Richter scale. And then he says, Puruvu, I think, I don't know if Puruvu is part of Shlemus HaNefesh here. I was a little confused by this. Or whether it's part of Tu'elis HaBanim.
What's the first?
Well?
I think it's
part of Tu'elis HaNefesh. Shlemus HaNefesh, yeah. The way he presents it, it sounds like it's part of Shlemus HaNefesh, that now you have children. Yeah, and then he goes, oh, and by the way, like, it's Tu'elis HaBanim because wife is Sivas. It's you something, can't exist without her. So I think we agree, these are all very important things to achieve, right? Yes? We could disagree on the details, but saying, look, all these really important goods are achieved through marriage. I guess he also says, you're asking about the learner-earner model, he has that she will raise and educate the children. I don't know if you saw that phrase over here, but he, tegadlam, utechancham. Okay, and he says, vilachin, and here's where it gets prescriptive, not just descriptive, right? It's not just, oh, by the way, marriage could achieve these things. It's to facilitate achieving these things. Vilachin, tzitza ha-Torah elokis al-chaburas ha-adam v'ishta. That they should have this type of union. And he quotes, lo tov heyos adam levado. That's part of this conception. V'chulin. Everybody good at this so far? Tani?
Could we read into the order of which they're presented in terms of like perhaps decreasing the spiritual hierarchy or decreasing like essentialism?
I wouldn't read into that. I think, I don't know why the sequence is this way, but why the ordering looks as it does, but I wouldn't make something out of it unless you know otherwise. Yeah.
Josh?
It's also interesting, it doesn't mention via as one of the pleasures. It talks about it as being something that fulfills a need, but not as a benefit in and of itself.
Yeah, it's true. For Tu'elis HaGuf, he just has, b'chol amolo v'yegia kapav. Right? Unless hanas gufo. Could be he's referring to intimacy there. So you can think about that phrase. Okay. I think this is the major opening line. So it's to achieve, the Torah commands Kiddushin to achieve these things, right? Here's a brilliant insight. Kari, what's the brief there? So what's the claim?
That this can only reach its ends if the couple have agreeing temperaments.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah. Well.
It's more than that.
Maskin and b'teva mezek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can.
Yeah.
Well,
they just agree.
Right. They just agree. I mean, I guess you could have agree though. I don't know if it means it has to be the same. He might think that they have to be the same, but. Well. Yeah. The point is, we can just say there's some degree of compatibility, right? Harmony. Agreement of temperaments or dispositions, character traits that are necessary conditions that have to be met if marriage is going to achieve these five machlokes. Okay, sir. Did I see that? That's the breakthrough. Because one could say that the din of Isha stands independent of these things. Right? It's like the fact of being married that's significant. Like you could read Chazal saying, oh, if you're 18, you're not married. Like Tafa Chatzmos of Shalploni. Like the din is to be married. And I think the Abarbanel gets credit for being the first to explicate very clearly that that's not really the significance of Ishus, right? The thing, the goods of the Torah's conception of marriage is predicated upon this Maskimin B'Teva U'B'Mezneh. So that, Yavi B'Neim A'Avas Kama. Can we see that? Now, he's not working in a vacuum. He taps into very nice themes of Chazal that do point in that direction. What does he lean into here?
Ezer
Kenegdo. And he leans into, in addition to Ezer Kenegdo, well, how does he darshan Ezer Kenegdo, Zecharia?
That's a Lomar. Ezer Kenegdo, Ezer Domer,
and then he draws from the Ramban, has this in the Perek of Torah, and the Ravid has it in his Sefer on the idea that Chava was created achas mitzalos of Adma Rishon, because that's the only way the union could have been this like perfectly harmonious union between them. You guys familiar with that Ramban? I could add it. Similar to what I think Ned dropped from the Kedas Yitzchak. But I'll add it to the Makoro sheet. Right, so that's the point that Hashem kind of gave Adam this choice, and nobody was a true Ezer Kenegdo. V'lachin kedei lahamtzi. So read this Zecharia.
It's
crucial for this conception of marriage to exist that they be rightly paired for each other. Okay, that's what he's emphasizing. Because if they're not rightly paired,
if they differ, he may lo yaskimu the pool of Sam, below Yasudar Binyan Beitam, below Yimshan.
That's basically his way of saying that's a necessary condition, because if they're not rightly paired for each other in this way, then none of these chamish tafios are going to be achieved. Right? I think it's a very nice point that he makes. And then he even says, I think if I was his editor, I would have said he shouldn't have stuck. He shouldn't have gotten all personal on the wife, right? I mean, I think because part of what's good about his analysis, that it's not about the woman being good or bad. It's about the compatibility. That's the whole thing. So I think he just slipped here. He really should have said in a bad ishus. Right. I don't know if he had it all sorted out on his own. But if I was living during the Spanish Inquisition, prior to the Inquisition.
So I thought he's after 1391.
1492. Prior to the expulsion.
Nobody says he finishes
the Barm. Yeah, 1492 is much later, the expulsion. He wrote the Barm first. Well,
he wrote it to get the Barm first.
You think this is before the
expulsion?
The expulsion, who cares about the expulsion?
The 18th verse is written in Naples.
I think this is right.
Yeah. So I think it's a really great point, and he's saying, look, it kind of undercuts the whole purpose of marriage if those goals are not achieved. Okay? And then he cites some Midrashi Chazal, which he thinks supports this, that some marriages could be motziani mar mimaves, some marriages could be worse than death, he says. He quotes Chazal in Yivamos, Zacha Ezer lo Zachar Zacha Kenegdo. So he gives those midrashim, or those statements of Chazal, meaning in light of the framework that he develops. I think it's like really, really good work from the Abarbanel. Okay. So far, I think the Abarbanel gets an A+. Right? I think it's really excellent. But then,
He puts it over the top. How does he put it over the top? How does the analysis get better? Josh?
How does it get better?
A good way. Like, it's really good up until now, right? I think it's a really good analysis. And then, but then it gets even better. I think this is like the...
What's Christian?
No. Yeah. Yeah, he says that's pshat in the mitzvah of geirushin. Right? Like, the mitzvah of geirushin is to ensure that the kind of the goal of ishas in the Torah works. And I think that's what's really brilliant about his presentation. He says, umipnei zeh. Notice the transition, right? Because of this, go ahead, Zacharia. Tziva Yisparah.
Tziva Yisparah Shem Kasher Adam Lo Yaskim Mezga V'Tivo L'Tavet Ishto
Kizehu V'Hoya Mosim Zachem Be'enav. Because V'Hoya Mosim Zachem Be'enav means that, like, something happened that they're no longer compatible. Or, like, the union no longer fits. Okay. So what happens? Shechiluf mizgehem to sabev hasiva, like this change, this incompatibility of temperaments, right, is the cause for losim tzachein beina. That what happens then?
Shas yigarshena shemuta lagarshena mishatirba sina bariv avtazavein.
Right. So now, again, if I was the editor, I would have put it a little differently. I would have said that better to get divorced, and he says this a little later on. So that, because like there's no point, like the marriage fails to achieve these goals, right? The goals for which it was instituted at this point, right? Instead, he kind of says better that they get divorced than always be fighting. I think he just takes the fighting thing as he's not worried about the fighting per se. He's saying, look, the fighting undercuts the five reasons for which the nisuin exists in the first place. But one could have read this as just like a benam lechavero type of thing.
He says this later on, when he says, like, Christians or whoever, the Muslim or conservatives,
yeah, they're going to kill, yeah, the crazy Jewish men are going to kill their wives, right? Right, so you could read that as like purely like a concern for the benam lechavero thing. I don't think that's what he's getting at. This is the point I want to develop a little more fully in a moment. So I think this is really great, right? Do you guys agree that the analysis is really compelling? Then he goes even further. He adds another dimension to this. Remember, we saw in Yuri, and Yuri is able to connect a lot of different dinim of Yishas to this Kesher Chazak thing. So he wants to create, he wants to also connect the dots to a lot of different dinim. What does he connect the dots to? Next, Josh?
The fact that there's Erisim before Nesuin,
right? V'chvar Zachar, go ahead, Zacharia.
V'chvar Zachar, philosoph, panhagas medina, shepnei zeh hiskimu hanashem be'erzin, kodim shetamen asay ish v'ish, teishas panay erzin, yivchenu shnehem. Vimi matzi shnehem ma'am, v'ar shalom, ha'ar shachem, me'atosos.
I think that's like matim. Probably like from like the... what's that being matim? It's sort of like fit or being compatible.
Hamezbim, haskamasam, yavoli nisu.
So it says, one year, the reason why you have irisin kodem nisuin is so that you have a year to get to know somebody, to feel out if the relationship makes sense, and if it doesn't work out, then you split up. So he thinks this, what is irisin pointing to? Not kesher chazak per se, as the Meiri read it. But honey, what's it going to do?
Whether or not that the men and the women are a fitting match, have a already like underlined, can form a kesher between themselves on an interpersonal level.
Yeah.
And then that they would just be able to live together.
Yeah,
and each other. And
totally.
Form the community of men and women.
Yeah, Ava, Ava, Shalom. Yeah. Right?
Everybody's meant to strive for since God split us up in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. I think that's right. Now, I mean, you can see, like, obviously different cultures today, like Jewish cultures, feel differently about this, right? Some cultures you could just be set up and expected to marry somebody you don't know.
You could say all the fun that happens beforehand, you know?
By the
thorough investigation.
interpretation.
Right. But here it's in the amount of shnehem. But we're not just going to die and barbing out from
it. It still doesn't really explain why divorce is so bad. Meaning, he could have said...
He doesn't say it's bad.
No.
Well, half it. His whole point is that divorce is so good.
I don't mean not bad in that sense. I mean, he could have said, instead of saying, Gershon comes from a Sue, and according to his logic, that's why Gershon exists. So what do you mean Gershon before a Sue?
He says the next one.
Yeah.
Kibbutz of the Garshon, Yosef Asula, maybe Yosef Ulov in the Sue. Better cut it off early.
Well...
You do need Gershon from Erison.
What?
You need a get from Erison.
So then, what's achieved? Meaning?
Well, Romy, what's Chaya just said?
You're saying that Erison's not meant to be a preventative measure against the get. It's meant to be like a prerequisite to like just that it have more confidence.
Right. Either way, there's going to be a get. Either way, you need Gershon. Because remember, Erison in Halacha is binding.
Yeah.
Right. He just thinks, yeah, it's better for her to be set free as a Basula than as a Basula. It's a different question. Why is that so significant in and of itself? And you see it in another place in the Chazal.
Is Nisuyin Jerubanan?
No, Nisuyin is Klopa. Right, Erison is the Kinyan of Eden.
Right.
Because he brings Erison into the picture. Rumi, did I answer your question sufficiently?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he says this. So now, given that you're in a marriage. Now, there are two ways to say this. I think he says it in both ways. Look, sometimes you just get it wrong, right? You marry the wrong person in that like the person wasn't right for you. Right? That's one way to think about it. The other way of thinking about it is that people change over time. And that chilov tamizagim means that sometimes like people change over time. Like, kind of like his response at the end. Ned, I don't know if you're talking about like his naturalistic thing, but like things change over time. So for either of those reasons, you need Gershon. Correct. So let's just look at this inside. Tired, doing a great job. Bachra Torah.
Bachra Torah Shigershena.
Sorry. Omnam in Karbo Linase.
If they're not married, Velo Yavo Haskama Vaposos Shum Zad. Bachra Torah Shigershena. Kibuchiras Harapin Miguto.
Okay, so I want to say two things here. What does this phrase mean? Bachra haTorah sheYigarshena.
Preferred.
Yeah, I think a major issue here when thinking about Yigarshen is what type modality the word ought has. So you ought to get divorced, or like, you can get divorced, or, right? Is this something you're supposed to be doing? Is this something the Torah wants you to be doing? Is this some just allowance that the Torah gives you? It's not clear from the Gemara itself, right? Is it a permission, a heter, or is this something that you should be doing? Yes? What sense do you get from this Barbanel? Roni?
Something you should be doing.
Yeah, it sounds like in this case, where the marriage is going to go, Bachra HaTorah sheYigarshena. You ought to divorce her. Okay? In Batei Din today, like, it's a major issue, you know, should a couple wants to get divorced. So is it do whatever you can to save the marriage. And there's like a presumption that like a divorce is kind of bad. Or you say, no, some cases, like, it's good to get divorced. So here he says, Bachra HaTorah sheYigarshena. So why? Why is this good to get divorced? Sorry, what's the rationale?
Well, first, he does call it a lesser evil.
Yeah.
As in, less bad than staying together.
Yeah. So if I was his editor, I wouldn't have put it that way. I would have said, because, right, the following reason. Here he seems inclined to want to concede that, right. It's a bad, and it's fine, I think you could say it's a bad situation, right? Like, counterfactually, it would have been better had everything worked out with Katfila.
Right.
So now we have to triage, and what's the rod in the Uto? I think it's okay to say that, but. The question is, does the color of the Gershon, given the circumstances, as essentially bad? right? I don't think his language commits us to that, right? You could say it's a rabbi miyuto, given the fact that they got married and didn't stay compatible. Yeah. Okay. So what's the why is it bechir? So why is this good? Zulai. What's the argument?
That this will free them both up to marry people who are more appropriate for them, and they can both have good marriage.
Yeah, it's like they both could realize the
quote-tiny inspirational Hasidic conception of marriage with somebody else. Right?
Why do you read it that way?
What?
Why do you read it that way?
Tani's way, or...
What? Well, they could both achieve like the five tachlios of marriage with somebody else. You object to that reading, or yeah? I thought Tani was just standing for those five tachlios. Okay. Now the Arbenal is an interesting point that he thinks that when the Pesukim talk about Sinna is not some irrational hatred. It just sinna is a reflection of the fact that they're not compatibly aligned in their mezugin. He's saying that. Like he says over here, sana, if the husband hates her, shehu osamiti mora al hischalfus hamizugin. Right? Kemoshe avo metziasein mora al ha otosam vihidamosam. Okay. All right. So let's take stock here. What do you think?
You have to categorize or just give some broad conception of the above analysis theory. How would you summarize it? Like what's Gershon doing?
Yeah.
It's whole notion of Gershon is part of the process of marriage, that they're both kind of purpose driven, and when it doesn't work as an effective partnership, then it has to be dissolved.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the Hamina that he's working against the whole time is this Christian conception of, like, that that might be, like, more prosaic in the idea of, like, whatever, but this kind of spiritual conception of man woman joined in
together.
Matrimony. But his point is that...
Some might even say covenantal.
Covenantal matrimony between, you know, the church and the people and what have you. But the point is that the connection exists in and of itself, whereas his point is the connection kind of follows from certain needs.
Insofar as it facilitates and furthers, like, the achievement of these goods. Right? Yeah. The way I want to just... tinker with that formulation is to say, coming back to this theme that we hit on in the last year, we asked, what does Gevurshin teach us about Kedushin? So in the Miri land, the answer is, it teaches us about Kesher Chazam, because the get makes it harder to separate. Right? In Abarbanel land, we get the exact opposite. And it's true that it also teaches us about Kedushin, about Nisuin, but it teaches us that the institution is there to achieve certain goals, right? And it does wrong to the institution to kind of abide to a marriage when it fails to achieve those goals. Right? So... Gevurshin is necessary because it's not sensible to have a marriage that is contrary to achieving these eight tachlios. Everybody see that? So the Barmanel agrees with the Migiri on the points about Gevurshin teaches us something profound about the nature of Ishus and Nisuin. But he disagrees with the Meiri that he does not think it's about Kesher Chazak. To the contrary, he thinks it's about making it easy to get out, or making it capable of getting out of, not slowing it down.
And the underlying thing that anchors his analysis is this notion of marriage facilitating these heteroclios, which in turn requires or hangs on his analysis of this like Azer Kenegdo idea that there's got to be the compatibility of the personalities and the kind of perfection of the union itself between the couple. Is that terribly abstract or okay, is it right there? Yeah, Josh.
So a point I just want to say we have in connection with that is that it might be that the Barbanel could be seen as read close to the majority, it's just that the Barbanel is starting from a different starting point. And that he's going up again, contrasting from the question before of like the Christian notion of divorce. So therefore his whole formulation kind of presupposes that marriage is already a kesher. Whereas the Meiri is contrasting before
Matan Torah, after Matan Torah.
So there's a different focus, but they might be focusing on the same kind of tachlis.
Okay.
I would say to me what's striking is like the Meiri is saying, what's significant about Torah's conception of marriage? Well, it's Kesher Chazak, it's not a Kesha, right? It's not just that you walk away from it when you feel like it.
If you ask the Barbanel what's unique about the Torah's conception of marriage, it's, oh, Ezer Kenego, right? That, like, Chava is Achas Mitzalosav, like, she's had to have been perfectly compatible with Adam for the kind of the conception of marriage to make sense.
Yeah. But he still presupposes the idea, the Kesha that the Meiri says was the Chiddush. He doesn't emphasize the Chiddush because kind of the starting point he's working from is that it's already such a strong conception.
And that's what has to be dissolvable in some way. Yeah, I don't take issue with that formulation. The way I set it up is to make the contrast as sharp as possible between the views, right? But you agree that the Meiri sees the Chiddush of Get, like the Torah's mitzvah big gerushin, to like get rid of a marriage when it doesn't achieve these things, right? The Meiri sees, no, the Torah's mitzvah big gerushin dichsav, so that the relationship is harder to get out of.
Harder than marriage, which tends to be better.
Yeah, exactly, right? Now I'd say, you could read into this major debate like other things,
maybe not Kamina, like the Shammai, the Hillel, or the Akiva. That's what I was alluding to in the first year, that you could read Rabbi Akiva in this light.
Like this, when I read this phrase of the Barbanel, Bachar HaTorah Sheyigar Shana, Ula Yisa Acheres Domer L'Teva Mizga V'Hiti Nase L'Achar HaDomer La, I read Rabbi Akiva.
Right, Matzah Acheres Na'ayim. But the opportunity to realize the conception of marriage elsewhere.
Josh.
I just want to argue a little bit.
Oh, sorry. You could read in Beisham Bezillah being part of it.
Right? Beisham is saying, like, it takes extraordinary grounds to justify getting out of marriage or less stubborn. There's a very strong presumption of it being locked in. And Bezillah kind of says, no, like, I feel like Gita Tafshila, like, even smaller types of things justify moving on to your relationship. So you might want to say those types of tensions relate to this distinction. Somebody had a hand? Josh?
Yeah, I just want to say, I don't think it's exactly Rabbi Akiva. Because if you took the environment out for Rabbi Akiva, it would just be, even if your relationship is good and you are somewhat matching temperament and you have accomplished five, to some extent, like if you read Rabbi Akiva, it might just be, even so, you should divorce and marry someone else because it might help you better. But I think, I know that as the editor, you changed some things. I think he was careful every time he talked about divorce to say that, like, I mean, these are situations where it's better to be single than with her. So I think his point is that, like,
that's a certain threshold.
Not working, then you should marry someone else. But I do think that a little bit like the Meiri, that he does think that it is important to keep the kesher.
Yeah, could be. Right. I'm just kind of.
I'm just trying to make the two studies as crisp as possible. Tell me your first name.
Akiva. The Barbanel also has a point where he says that it's important for like the kids in other families.
Citing that's working off the Rambam, and yeah.
Right. And with all this like almost promotion of Gershon, it kind of implies that if you're in a marriage and you have kids, you fill them with Peru and you get divorced, it's almost safer or better to not get remarried because you're creating all these other family structures that are confusing and not in society.
Yeah.
And if you can get...
You're saying, what about the kids? Yeah, what about the kids?
No, but if they know their mother, and the mother still has care for them, and you have care for them...
But you're saying the father can love all the children?
They're what?
You're saying the father can have relations with all the children?
No, they can tell the relation. I mean, I think everyone keeps getting remarried. That creates a lot more problems, a lot more confusion.
Yeah.
And if everyone stays single and focused on their one, like...
Right. I think the Rambam probably thought that, you know, you love all your relations. Like, you love all your relatives. Like, as long as they're related to you.
Right, but it sounds... I'm not arguing that point. I'm saying...
You should argue that point. I mean, I don't know how plausible the Rambam's theory itself is, but yeah.
I'm saying that it's almost better than not getting married because of the potential for another divorce, which you can go get the other five things, perhaps, also.
Right. Maybe that gets back to Josh's point, like, you know, it's got to be, there are cases where you're better off single than married in terms of achieving the hatatios.
Right.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. But you see what Deb Arbonell's trying to say.
Yeah.
Right? I think you're pointing out that sometimes the divorce can make those types of yuchsin relations, like the relationships amongst family members, more divisive.
Right.
Right.
And, like, generally we promote marriage a lot, but it seems like the Barbanel would, like, as long as you have one.
Well, that might just be because we live in the Meiri's world, we don't live in the Barbanel world. Right? Maybe. Imagine if we...
Privileged members.
What?
Privileged members.
That's right. You know, maybe if the Barbanel wrote Kiddushim on Shas said, and we live in a Barbanel world. Some people live in a Barbanel world, right?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Well?
Ned.
Ned lives in a Barbanel world? Right. I meant it more like hashkafically. Like, that. Some people definitely, like, if you're asking, like, what would somebody say? I don't know. Like, you think our society celebrates the Kesher Chazak more than the Barbanel is, like,
individuals?
Yeah,
it's half the
US.
No?
Rami, you
say
not?
Sure.
Huh?
I don't think so.
You don't
I mean,
think
so? Our side, Jewish side?
It depends what?
If you want to get divorced, you can say, like, oh,
no. Right, I'm saying, like, when you go to the Sifas Musar about marriage, right? I don't like. The first day, the first, like, when you're here for the opening day, it's like, you know, Gershon's so bad. Right, it's
that's why they put
it
at the end of the
stuff. But that's in the Yiri world, no?
Right.
Yeah, Barbanel might say, right. No, like, it's so good because, like, if, like, the people change over time and marriages don't make sense when people once people change, I probably shouldn't even record myself saying this because we live in such a non-Barbanel world.
Is sure by recording?
Yeah.
Wait, why don't we live in a Barbanel world?
Strike your comment about the Hasidim. Honey, strike your comment about the Hasidim.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah, Josh.
I feel like we could also examine Kesher Chazak as a value in and of itself that, you know, might be a little simple, but you could say that we don't have like culture of Zima, and we can find it distasteful, and we just like the beauty of strong marriage.
Yeah.
I have to say it's, I don't think not just necessarily the shame you have not the shame you have to
totally. Yeah, I don't think right. You could go elsewhere. I'm just giving the point. This is the only thing we've seen. Totally. Yeah, I don't think this is the Meiri's and this is the Rambam's. But, you know, we can get a nice C in here that Josh will give us.
Alternatively, let's
say. Either be holders in the commentator or in the Times of Israel. But like the third, you haven't seen anything about like a different rationale.
Also, another model could be, let's say, we just don't, again, this is related to.
There you see Josh's point is saying Kesha Chaza could bottom out in something different than what the Rambam says in Mordechai Kohen. I totally agree. Right. Yeah,
also that we just don't want to say adultery now, which is kind of a culture of Zima, but.
Yeah, I think that's the upside.
We don't want to hate.
Well, that's kind of in between the Meiri, because Meiri does say so the wife doesn't deviate from the husband. And it's also Yusin. Right? Now you don't think so?
No, I'm saying it just in general terms. We don't want a culture of Zima.
Well, what's bad about a culture of Zima?
It's just distasteful. Distasteful. It's not as pragmatic. Or...
Why is it distasteful? The Rambam will say, "Du Chazara and Gimel Mem Tes."
I could be wrong.
Rambam will say, "Du Chazara and Gimel Mem Tes." He's like, I gave you three reasons there. One is, Yosin, and one is about to make people less engaged in sexual activities. Right?
I just have a simple element. It's a little subjective. I don't live in society where there's, let's say, Zima, and I'd rather live in society where there's.
It's just like, I like Coke and you like Pepsi. It's like some people...
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you want to explain it in terms of something more...
Yeah, that's why it's good to break it down a little farther. But I was just wondering, is there a way to frame what I'm saying in a more objective way?
Probably. I think we should all give more thought to it.
We're not done with this. Right now, I'm just kind of getting what we have in front of us on the table. We're never going to be done with this, even after you finish learning giving. I'm trying to figure this stuff out as a lifelong project. But I think, yeah, if we have like a good shita that goes in here, right, I think we should, and if not, we should write it ourselves. Right.
Or find a quote of the Rav that says it and celebrate the fact that the Rav says it.
Something I just think Josh was struggling with a little bit, and Akiva as well, is just we're dealing with the concept, all this is in the context of polygamy, right? So we're dealing with larger family structures and half siblings. So it's a little bit like people's families are more complex and getting divorced, and I guess it's a custody issues are a little bit more complicated because you men have bigger family homes.
Yeah, again, I don't know how common it was. Like, even though the Torah allows for polygamy, it's not clear to me how built into the fabric of society that was, or we should assume it to be.
Because then, like, the distastefulness of breaking Kesher Chazak, but it's not like marriage.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Akiva seemingly doesn't exist within a polygamous
house. That's what we were talking about the other day. Okay, I want to just get a few more points here. Zecharia?
Yeah.
The Barbanel talks about the Christians who are upset with him, right?
The Chinuch also quotes the Christians, right, in his analysis. So the Christians said that the Torah frowns upon divorce, correct? Mm-hmm. And it was only given as a concession. I like the paradigm of Shlo Dibra Torah Kenegad Yetzer. To Jews, because we know that Jewish men would kill their wives if they weren't allowed to divorce them. That's what the Christians said to the Barbanel, right?
Historically accurate.
Is it?
Well, not the Jewish part, but the fact that people killed their wives.
Is that so?
Henry the
Eighth. Okay, nice.
I think if you're like a tyrant, it's a little different.
Can't learn from crazy kings, but...
Okay, fine. I thought that's what he was pointing to.
Oh, you think specifically...
No, I'm just saying. So
look at this. So he says that's not true. He says the Torah commands it, right? He's opposed to this. And one of the things that those Christians said to him was that, oh, divorce is against nature, right? Because how can you take that man some love and break apart from it? Right? So what does he respond? Let me just actually get their quote on the table because it's such a good quote. Blah blah blah. Here, Roy Ladas kiktzas mechach meumos kimu vekibu b'neiam shatorah lokis lo tzivsa begeirshin ba'amram kihu davar kineged hateva lahafrid hadavar me'atzmuso ubasar mibsaro. So if marriage is this kind of like the Zohar says, the union of like two parts of the neshama that come together. How could, like Etzem Atzem Basar Mibsaro, how could you cleave that asunder? How could you break that apart? Right? It's a good argument. So, what does he answer? What would you answer to this? There are two ways you could go, right? You could say, oh, you have like the conception of marriage wrong. It's not that.
just like acquisition, it's like opinion, right? Or you could say
your CS, I mean that there are tellers from your way of finding.
That's you don't have to go there. More modestly, what could you say? Rumi?
It's not a Buster Bimsera.
Well, that's like a way of saying that it's just like a kinyan, right? It's not this existential thing of the like the neshamas stitching together.
Right? Stitch neshamas together because of part.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Meaning like you could kind of concede the picture, but explain why those things break apart.
He says, like, Hashem sees it here. Do you see Hashem sees
it? No, but look what he says. He's better than that. Look, I love this phrase. He says,
it's like soul entropy. Can we
take an English view? Wait, just read this in Barba
Nala. Well, Yosef is called, let us remember the Tila of Mizgah. Hari Enena etzem me'atzama v'basrim sarot. Once she no longer corresponds and is a good match for him, then she's no longer fleshes.
Exactly. So if you read even from the beginning of this highlighted section, he says, yeah, like when they're like properly suited for each other, Kasher Tia Isha Hasan Mayatma Adam Masrim Saro, Rotalomar, Maskanas Mizgo and Mizgo, Vitivo Litivo, like it was on Machava, in Suffix Lotiker Alfred by Gir. Right. Then like yeah, there's no basis for taking that apart. Or that can't be torn apart. So maybe you can say like a non-justified gerushin. So like I think what he's saying is like when marriage lives up to its ideals, then yeah, the Christians are right. Like it can't be taken apart at all. But since people's natures change, mischalefes mimenu betivo mizga, right? Or when they're not suited in the right way, then enana etzem lasim sara. See what he's saying? He wants to say, like, the Christians are right in terms of, like, this depiction of marriage not being breakable. But he's saying that's only under the conditions where, like, the marriage is achieving the goals that it's supposed to achieve, right? Which reflects that that's a matzama basam ripsara of kule. Thoughts? I guess it's pretty... very complex and sophisticated analysis of the Barba now. Josh, you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah? I think it's very medieval in his response. Okay. He even says, how could you be dovig eich yidbaka adam asher bazem ishtov hayu labasar echad biyosam hamizagin b'tivim shonim ma'od. Right, sometimes like this, the marriage doesn't make sense. And what happens then? Zachari, imkain.
Imkain, mosh ayu an asu and mitzvah, imkain ayu an grushim mitzvah.
Yeah, I think it's a great line. Right, he's saying the same things that make a marriage a mitzvah, like a mitzvah of ishas, because like the Torah wants you to achieve whatever the things you're supposed to achieve are, like it wants you to achieve those goods, those same things make the gerushim because it wants you to achieve it, but they're not being achieved in this union. Okay, so I want to say something that I think is very sharp. But you could tell me if it's sharp in fact. Let me say one thing before I say the thing that I think is sharp. I thought it's very cool that he wants to point to biblical precedents for gerushin, because the Christians argue that the Avos didn't get divorced. So he thinks he has one good makar in the Torah. Forget about Pesukim and Malachi, etc. What does he think is a good model?
Hagar.
Well, yeah, Avram and Hagar. Right, Garish as Amazos. He actually thinks that's an example of Avram getting divorced. Right, so you can see at that point, like, there wasn't, I don't know if it was really Hagar's fault or Hagar or Yishmael's fault. You have to go back to the Pesukim, good thing, and Orion, around the corner, between those parches. But it's an interesting question, like, if the Harbonel's right, that that's a paradigm for Gerushin, the word Garish is used. So you think that shows that it's a good thing under the right conditions. Right? Hashem even told Avram to
divorce Hagar, and he thinks those same things explain why Geirish and Ledoros could be a mitzvah. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Hamitzave al HaGeirishin, the Makom Shis and Ben Ish Lishto. Okay, so now let me say the thing that I think is sharp. Basically, what's so striking about one way of thinking about this of Arvinel is that he's thinking of the mitzvah of Geirushin in terms of preserving the institution of marriage. So the idea that marriage can only live up to its ideals if there's a procedure for divorce when marriage is failing to do that. Right? Because I think we all agree that if the institution of marriage was such that you were perforce stuck in some relationship, then you can't say that like the marriage is like the thing that's supposed to be very special, and the etzem yatzamai, also maybe sari, this kind of it's kind of like spiritualized. So you could think of Gershman, Nitsa, Mishet, Siva bin Nisuin, Siva bin Gershman, because like this is upholding the Torah's conception of what the institution of marriage should be. Okay? And that explains why the threshold for divorce is very low, to kind of safeguard or to maintain high standards for what a marriage should be living up to. Okay? Contrast that with the Sefer HaChinuch. When you go to the Chinuch also has a theory for why the threshold might be very low for divorce. Right? And let's see what he says. So, Tafkafayin Tas, Mishar Shem Mitzvah, who prepared the Chinuch and wants to volunteer to Ezra?
Mishar Shem Mitzvah, the Fisha Isha Nivres, Ezra, the Adam, the Loke, Echad, the Fleet, and the Toh, the Kim. The Inyan Shem Yusuf, the Rafa, Anisha, Kareza, Breed, Elam, the Misha, Asa, Kli.
So, Diak there is supposed to be that in this Gemara and Sanhedrin refers to women as a Kli. So he says, a wife. Is just there to assist the husband as one of the tools at his disposal. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Sounds like it, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense that's what he's saying, or are you endorsing his view?
I'm saying I understand both.
Okay. So he says, what follows from that?
Anytime this
flea's
not doing its right service, then get out of your house.
Yeah, and he doesn't even say not doing it the proper. He says, like if the right, if he decides that he's no longer satisfied, it's at his prerogative, at his pleasure, discretion, to decide to get rid of that flea. That's the language of the thing, right? I think it's very jarring when you read this.
Jarring. He won't sit back in a second.
Well,
he's going to walk back
and he has a second view. Right? I don't think he ever walks back this point. Right? So he also basically, you could say, why is the Torah allowed for Gershin? Right? Why does it allow people to walk away from a marriage? And his answer is because, like the marriage itself doesn't really aspire toward anything.
It's really kind of sad, though, besides the fact of his description of whatever a woman is, it's kind of sad with the description of marriages, because it's...
Well, when you say sad, that's just because you're not living in a chinuch world, right? You're not in the Arvinel's world, you're not in the chinuch world, right? Which world are you in?
I think we're individuals.
Right. No, I'm saying because there's no point in marriage.
What's your pre-halakhic conception of what the marriage should be?
I don't know, even on halakhic level, I always view marriage as an important thing. I think even in the Torah.
Well, you say it's not important.
How could
this
be sad?
Right, it's your favorite
food. How could it be sad?
It's just like a piece, like a wood, like a stick that you used to,
Well, no, because the stick is not important. It's like you get a really good hammer. That's important.
I think the Chinuch, yeah, he has a very prosaic conception of, what Ishus is about, right? Unless you see something in here that I don't see. But I think that's okay, meaning I don't know that
Like, I don't, like, the Amar Ben El reads the Pesukim in the beginning of Bereishis and he says, oh, it's, these are connected, right? It's a very lofty thing, and you look at the great things that come out of this.
Like, can you imagine someone say, like, reading this Pilach at, like, a show? It's like, someone read that Bar Ben El, but he wouldn't read the Pilach.
Well, what does that tell you?
Like,
what are you asking me when you, what are you asking me when you ask that question? Right. You're just appealing to the fact that the world of Sheva Brachos Divrei Torah is not the world of the Hina. Okay? Now, you could have a view about Hashkacha Pratis that says, like, oh, if people aren't quoting Chinuchs at Sheva Brachos Divrei Torah, then clearly the Chinuch is wrong. That's a controversial argument. Right? So, what's striking about the Chinuch is that, yeah, I think he just has this very prosaic conception of marriage, right? The wife is just I actually don't think he has any, like, the fact that the Gemara refers to Kli in this context is not really so compelling. But he says, as a consequence, Kolzman sheyokotz nafsha b'chli hazeh yotziyanu mibeisa. It's at the husband's discretion, it's at his pleasure to decide when he wants to get rid of his wife. We agree that's kind of what the Chinuch is saying. So that he thinks is either Rabbi Akiva, or he really thinks it's Beis Hillel. Minatama zeh. So go ahead, Ezra. He connects to Beis Hillel.
Minatama zeh. Yes, we're on the table. She offered the market and shafila and kehla tashilo yavul garsha. Kolomar bipei dabar katan. Afer she'ena lo elakekli yakar shemabai.
You see, everybody has their drush in Beis Hillel. Right? It's like Beis Hillel show you that, oh, if dicha tashilo bothers you, then that shows that, like, the whole marriage doesn't make sense. Or the Chinuch has a drush saying Beis Hillel means anything. Anything that annoys you. Right? It's good grounds for divorce. That's the Chinuch's reading. Again, that makes sense if you think that marriage is reducible to Lafisha Isha Nivras Le'ezel Adam Kichli Chamdaso. But then he has to make sense of Beis Shammai. So how do you make sense of Beis Shammai? This is what I want to zero in on. Beis Shammai says Arba Stav, right, Ezra?
So, surely I could sell my car, even if it doesn't do anything egregious, right?
So, why must I have a very strong excuse for divorcing my wife? What is the answer?
Right, so basically he says, like, I think what Jacob's thinking is him walking in the back, I'm not really sure that's true, but he just said, like, this Kli, it's the mahut of the Kli, it has, like, it's still made, like, the Selma Elkin.
Oh.
So.
Meaning what?
Meaning that, like, to get, this is a Kli, but it's an important Kli, and to get rid of this important Kli, you need a good time.
Yeah. And the idea is that, look, there's still a ben adam lechavero component of it that has to be taken into consideration.
Where does
ben adam lechavero?
Yeah.
Einayim liros, einayim lishmo, nefes sichlis, bitzalmo, bitmuso. Meaning, I think he's just saying that she's created, the woman is created, bitzalmo lekim. Right? It's an animate kli. Thinks and breathes and has feelings, so it has to be treated with respect.
And Hillel just disagrees with that then?
What?
And Hillel disagrees with that?
Good question. What are they disagreeing about? And hold on to that for a second. I mean, I think what's striking about his analysis of Beis Shammai is that the justificatory burden that Beis Shammai thinks has to be met arises not from anything relating to the nature of Ishos. Right? It just has to do with, like, the fact that, hey, you can't toss somebody out of your house when they're created to sell Malakim and have feelings. You guys agree with my reading on the Chinuch, or is there another way to read it?
Yeah.
Connie, you agree, or?
No, I disagree.
You disagree with my reading?
I disagree.
Okay, so hold on for one second, just to get to that. You see, what I'm pointing out in the Abar Ben El is that, the threshold for divorce turns on, like, some question about the institution of marriage, right? Like,
to ensure that marriage preserves these heitachios, etc. For the chinuch has nothing to do with that. For the chinuch, it's like nothing to do with it. It's not a halacha on ishus. Like the last mishnah, in Gittin, according to the Bar Manel, is a question of hilchos ishus. Like what's the purpose of the institution of marriage, etc. For the chinuch, it's not really a din in hilchos ishus. It's a din in hilchos deos. Everybody see that? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Just out of time, you want that.
So where I dispute, actually think that the chinuch is much more in line with the Bar Manel. Not in that they both agree that just what we didn't get up to that they both agree that men and women were created Eza Connecto and to be compatible, as it says there, Shiva Migras Kalabishvila, and that marriage is supposed to be the stitching of two souls together and the union.
Well, I think this could just be Nevras Bishvilo just means to to serve him.
So the way I view that when they were created is, and I'd also be to read into this and say the Chinachak would believe in soul partners, soul mates, and then when people get married, it's a keshachazok, but it's more than.
I'm saying, where do you see that in the Chinach? I'm very open to that idea. I'm just saying, where look in the Chinach and where do you see it?
From soul mates? And then that also, what's it called? Shemihim Shemher, the first time of Eden.
I think Bitzalmo Bitmuso just means Bitzelim Elokim. Yeah. Like in the same Tzelem that every human being is created in. See, I don't see this as being about anything in the relationship. I see it as being about just like the fact that she's human. Anybody agree? Do you guys have views about that phrase? Miyosa kliyazeh bitzalmo bitmuso. Einayim liros nashmo. V'nefesh sichlis.
Yeah, definitely.
And then
the fact
that she's not able to set it up because they were kind of, she was made for him, they were made for each other, from when they were born, and then there are some people have problems, people go through rough patches, but to split up something which potentially could be the perfect union between like the two halves of like the original Adam, and then like
I just see you're reading a lot into these lines of the Chinuch, right?
I'm definitely I don't think I'm reading that much into them.
Anybody amenable to
Tommy's
reading? Josh, you're Tommy.
I understand why you're reading into it. It's definitely not like before words, right?
Yeah, that's my view. Benji, you have a view on this?
Yeah, I think it's much more limited than. You can't just read until every time it says that they're together to be done. It's like,
yeah.
Soulmates.
So you're with me on this one. Tzacharia, where do you fall?
Yeah, much more. It's just like a covered Brios problem. It's not like a.
Yeah. Romy? Where do you.
What?
Where do you fall on this? What?
No.
What does that mean?
I'm focusing on my doing this career.
What do you think of this line in the Chinuch? Is it what?
I mean,
it's
not
even
going to take the time. I was literally.
All right, we'll give Romy time. We'll give him until next year to think about it. So, yeah, we'll give you the last word. So this is kind of, we'll get into the Gemaras now, but I think this is a good framework for us to kind of see where the main principles of Gerush and Mishas kind of map out. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Akiva. Akiva, sorry. It's admitted our color of Brios. Have equal say
to marriage. No, that's why he says she. That's what this word of this shehilo nivras elabishvila, right? Like that's why it's unilaterally before.
Yeah,
but
she's
then,
a full person, which is
still
so
right. Right. Machina sees no issue in those.
How can you have
right? Like a Kantian would say that you can't be both. Like
how can she both be like one step below him from him, but also have a certain like equal amount of respect?
I don't think he would say equal respect. I think he would say like the Sela and Mujimus gives her some minimal breath. Yeah, correct. I think it's an interesting point to make generally, but yeah, I think that's what the Chinuch is thinking. All right, so guys, think about this Chinuch a little more, and then let's start working through that Shaka Vitaria Tzagi through Tzagi.
Thank you.
Right, back, guys.